It was the preparation day for the Passover. We hear this a numerous number of times in the gospel today. It was the preparation day. So the Jews did not want to enter the praetorium so as not to be defiled, so that they could eat the Passover meal that night. It was the preparation day, so they wanted the legs broken so that the bodies could be taken down and buried before evening when the Passover began. It was the preparation day. We talked last night at our liturgy about the significance of the Passover and the fact that Jesus would have likely anticipated the eating of the Passover a day early, because we know that Friday, as we read in today's gospel, was the preparation day for the Passover, and we are told that Passover and Sabbath coincided that year, that the Sabbath or Saturday was a solemn Sabbath because indeed it was Passover. Therefore, Friday was the preparation day and Passover began that evening. Why is this significant then? Well, again, going back to last night where we talked about the significance of the Passover and the sacrificing of the Passover lamb in commemoration of God saving his people in Egypt, we remember that that lamb had to meet certain criteria. That lamb had to be without blemish, spotless. And also we read that none of its bones were to be broken. On the preparation day for the Passover, for the Jews, this was the day when they would bring their lambs to the priest at the temple. And the priest would scrutinize the lambs. They would look and make sure that in fact this lamb was worthy, that this lamb had no blemishes, that it was spotless, and was therefore worthy to be the Passover lamb. And there in the evening, the lamb would be slaughtered so that it could serve the family as their Passover lamb. It is therefore very significant that St. John tells us over and over that it was the preparation day for the Passover when Jesus was crucified. In fact, chronologically, we know that 3 PM, exactly when Jesus died in the temple, at that very moment, the priest would have been scrutinizing the lambs and slaughtering them for the upcoming Passover celebration. Additionally, as they're scrutinizing these lambs to see that they are without blemish, we read that Pilate is examining Jesus. Jesus is looking over Pilate and he is trying to determine whether he is guilty or innocent. And over, Pilate declares, "I find no guilt in him. I find no guilt in him. Jesus is spotless." The great secular high priest, Pilate, the territorial governor, has fulfilled the role of the Jewish priest in the temple in declaring Jesus, the Passover lamb, to indeed be spotless and without blemish. In fact, we know that Jesus was perfect. And so these events coincide so theologically beautifully in John's gospel. These lambs, mere earthly lambs, symbolic of being saved in Egypt, of course had no power to actually save the Israelites, much less take away sins. Rather, it was a ritual meal celebrated each year to commemorate the past saving actions of God. An event that we commemorated last night as Jesus took this Passover meal and turned it into the sacrifice of the new covenant. Indeed, we know that theologically, Jesus began his passion last night in the upper room as he anticipated the Passover and offered not a lamb, but his body, his blood. "This is my body, this is my blood," he said over ordinary bread and wine, and establishes this new covenant. Then, this following day, in the evening, afternoon hours, as the lambs in the temple are slain, which have no effect, on a cross, just outside the city, in view of the temple, the Lamb of God was being slain and laying down his life. The death of this lamb, this spotless, unblemished lamb, however, was different than the sacrifice of any lamb ever before. For this was the Lamb of God. As St. John the Baptist long ago pointed out at his baptism, "Behold the Lamb of God." We tend to think of a lamb as being a cute, fuzzy little animal that we would like to pet in a petting zoo. This is not at all the way the Jews would have seen a lamb. A lamb meant blood and sacrifice, redemption and salvation. How true for us then that today the Lamb of God is sacrificed for us. Our sins are actually taken away by this Lamb. We are actually saved, not from slavery in Egypt, but from slavery to sin. Christ's death on the cross is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Notice even that as they come to break the bones, to break the legs of the criminals on the crosses, the reason for this is that in order to breathe on the cross, because of the way you're suspended, you have to push yourself up on your legs to allow your lungs to be able to expand and to exhale and to inhale again. If they break the legs, this was a way to hasten the death of those hanging there. It was actually seen as a merciful thing to speed death along, because crucifixion was an agonizing, slow, painful death. So it was actually a merciful thing that Pilate allowed the request that the bones be broken. But notice when they come to Jesus to break his bones, it says that he is already dead, and so there is no need to break his bones. We're reminded of the prophet then that when the Passover lamb is prepared, break none of its bones, they are told. None of Jesus' bones were broken. In fact, even when the Roman soldier then takes his spear and thrusts it into the side of Jesus, we know that he missed the ribs, the bones, and instead struck directly at the heart, where blood and water flowed out. Jesus is dead. He dies for us at approximately 3 p.m. to the sound of great earthquakes, an eclipse of the sun, graves being opened, and all kinds of calamity. The death of Jesus is powerful. Through his death, he has paid the debt for all our sins. Because we know that while Jesus is unblemished, is pure and spotless, we are not. In fact, we know that his death is in fact our fault. It is our sins that caused this great death. There's even a note in our missalette that we not too carelessly associate the references to the Jews in the scriptures as somehow laying the blame for the death of Jesus on the Jews or even the Romans. It's us, the sinners, the Christians even, that are responsible for his death. We are indeed not unblemished. But through the blood of the Lamb shed for us on the cross, through the grace given us in baptism, we are able to be washed clean. So today, as we come before this altar, what could we do but fall on our face, acknowledging what we have done in the death of Jesus? But we also come here with hope. The Paschal Lamb has been sacrificed, St. Paul tells us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Today we mourn and grieve, but we do so as those who have hope. We know that just this time, tomorrow night, we will be keeping the feast of the Paschal Lamb. For the Lamb that dies today is alive in the book of Revelation, looking as slain yet living. This Lamb is our salvation. Today we mourn that he is slain. But we are hopeful that in just a day we shall gather, and in the darkness of tomorrow night we will see this Lamb alive again. May we be grateful for the Lamb that was slain for our sins, and may we accept the blood of the Lamb as he now washes us clean and fills us with his grace.